fight for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them.
Yes, everyone, thank you for joining us. Another episode of the Warm Down Day. Today, delighted to be joined by Clayton Blackmore. Over 200 appearances for United. A shitload of trophies in that time as well, I think it's fair to say, including a couple of Premier League winners' medals. Clayton, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing okay. I'm getting by at the moment, same as everybody else, I think.
I know you like your golf. How are you coping with that? Or are you you're able to get out of
that? That's the hardest one. I've actually got, it's funny because before the lockdown, the courses were so wet, we were using the old mats. So I've actually got a few mats with me and I'm chipping, I'm practicing a bit of chipping off concrete, but I put my AstroTurf mat down. So I'm working on stuff, but it's not a lot.
All right. So Clayton, you was at the club at a pretty turbulent time, which I think you can probably draw a lot of parallels to the current situation under Ollie. I'm not suggesting Ollie's going to go on and have the career Sir Alex had. But you had a couple of managers that hadn't quite worked out before stumbling upon Sir Alex Ferguson. What was your experience of that time? Because United was relatively successful under Big Ron and immediately wasn't successful under Sir Alex. What do you remember of that time?
I think always when it changes over the manager, I think a lot of clubs you see, but in the form, especially in the bottom of the league, you see a big difference. It changed straight away because I think that's the players. And I don't think we ever had that at United where players weren't trying. Because you're playing in front of 50,000 every week. And I never saw that with the players that I played with. A lot of fantastic players. For me, we should have won the league more than we did with different teams as well. But, I think when you change over, obviously Sir Alex, then he's got to bring new players in and there's a little bit of a transition. And, sometimes the transitions, when you bring Ronaldo in, there's no transition. He's a fantastic player. He straight away strengthens the team. And sometimes, you got to find the right way.
You think that those first years was, I think a lot's been made of the drinking culture, and I think probably too much has been spoken about of the drinking culture at United, because I think it was prevalent everywhere, wasn't it? It was just a football culture more than anything.
Yeah, I think everybody was doing that everywhere. We still won the league. We were still drinking then. We won the league. So I think for me, you're better off. Everybody's looking for a reason why we didn't win the league. I look back at it. I didn't at the time, and I think our pitch was probably the worst in the league for over 8 or 9 years.
What was that, late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, it was shocking. It was all through the 80s pretty much. I remember my first game in Lou McCarty's testimonial on Old Trafford, and that was at the end of the season, and the pitch was magnificent. And then about 3 or 4 years in, I think it's when we started changing to underground heating.
When they
put the underground heat in, then we had a big problem with the pitch, and it was never good.
I remember I started going in 1990, so I can remember some shite pitches early doors. There's a game against QPR in about 1991. I think we got dicked at home, which stands out as just the pitch just being bare, no grass on it, just like hard mud.
Yeah, I think for the groundsman, because we get so much rain here, I think he filled it with sand. And I think he was getting more and more sand. I remember Mark Hughes at the start of the pre-season, and the pitch is magnificent. We have our pictures with the press, and he went down and picked up a little bit of grass in between his fingers, and it just came out. Like you were down the beach and there's a bit of grass coming out of the sand.
Yeah.
That's how it is. There's no route there. And I think that's the difference now, obviously, with today's game. If you look at the roots now, there's intertwined and they've got stuff holding it all together, and it's a lot stronger and there's no mud. It's not soft. The pitches are dead hard now as well. Lads, senior players, when they get a bit older, they will have a bit more trouble with their knees and ankles, I think, because the grounds are so firm.
Yeah, plus there's a lot of training on 4G, whether that's as a pro or coming up as a kid.
Yeah.
Everywhere's 4G, isn't it?
To be honest, I think the 4G is softer than the pitches.
Wow.
It's completely changed around, because when we played on the grass, it got really heavy. Everybody's wearing long studs, just to get some grip, because it was, so muddy. And then you go on the AstroTurf, it was like concrete. It was the old AstroTurf, and you leave a ball bounce and it would bounce twice as high as when it, you know, was coming down.
I've never heard anyone think about that or mention that as
I'm a bit weird because I'm a bit like, even we always used to laugh at Sir Alex because he used to go and he used to do that with his hand and it's like measuring a yard. And he used to go around on the pitches and he'd be out, we were like trying to figure out what he was doing. And he was like measuring the sizes and the width of the pitches. And you go onto the, if you look at all, for me now, I look at all the small pitches, the old stadiums, and they're all very small and tight. So you don't get any room. There's no, if you want to be a passing team, for me then, for the opposition, all you got to do, if they go right on top of you, close you down quickly, you're going to lose a ball trying to play out. Mm. And I mean, in them days as well, the pitches weren't good to be playing out. So there's loads of things you could, I can look back at it now, like Goodison, to be fair, Goodison's pitch was always very good. But there was no room because it was so tight. You know, you've got people trying to take half a leg off you as well and chunk out of your leg. So, you know, there's less room. And even down to, so I think Fowler said it the other week. He said, yeah, at Old Trafford, you seem to get a bit more time on the ball. And that's because it takes you longer to get to them. And to be fair to Stephen Gerrard, he even spotted, he knew why. You heard him talking about it the other day, and he says the pitch is bigger and he got a bit more space.
It's not longer, is it, though? But it is wider.
It'll be longer than Goodison.
Jesus.
Yeah, much longer. You can tell when you're on it. When you're playing a ball, when you clip a ball. I remember even being down at Chelsea's ground, you know, after I'd finished playing, we were doing some soccer stuff, six-a-side stuff. And I just remember I was running with the ball and it just over the centre circle. And I thought, I could shoot from here. It felt that close.
Wow.
Like Old Trafford, you could, from the centre circle, you're like, you're lucky to reach the goalkeeper. It's that far.
When we did bring Eric in 92, I've got some seriously fond memories of Cantona. Was he as mystical as a person in the dressing room? Or did he fit in with the rest of the lads?
Yeah, he was at first. He was very quiet. I mean, I'm like thinking he doesn't speak English because he very rarely said anything. And, you know, I've had a lot. I've done a few Q&As with him since. And, you know, he was a great guy. Great lad. He got on with it. But like you say, he got on with the lads. I think when you're new coming into it, you know, it's a big club as well. And it probably overawed him a little bit when he first got there. You know, he was only at Leeds before, wasn't he? So, so I shouldn't say that, really. But no, he was a fantastic guy. You know, I got on with him great. I still get on with him great. And he's, like I say, he's one of the... He took care with everything he did, every pass. I think he made some of our players a lot better, you know, better than what they were. You know, he cared with every pass he took. I don't think I saw him miss a pass.
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting things is he changed United and possibly changed Fergie. It seemed like he just got more of a free role. We went from playing that rigid English 4-4-2 to...
Yeah.
We sort of played 4-4-1-1 almost, didn't we, with Cantona just dropping off?
Yeah, I mean, I think it worked that way because obviously with Sparky, he was up there as well. He's a good target man. And, you know, he used to drop off anyway.
Was it worked on, or was it just what he wanted to do?
No. I mean, look, 4-4-2, that's how you play the game. For me, sometimes he used to drop off and get onto the ball. You know, I think he was a little bit different where he wanted to get on the ball anyway. But when you played the two up front, whatever side the ball was on, usually the striker who was on your side came towards you. And then that had the centre-half coming with him and leaving a little bit of a space for the other centre-forward to run into. So, you know, it was that's the way the game was played in them days. For me, 4-4-2 is the best system.
Still,
I've played in every system, and I think it's the most. I think it's the strongest when you haven't got the ball because you've got two banks of four. You've not got somebody who's. I mean, I've watched us play the new systems, and even with when we've had Mata out on the right, and he goes in field a lot, and he's left Ashley Young for nearly a full game against two players. He's had to work on two players on his own all game. And, you know, and that's where I think, I mean, he actually did really well. It was against Chelsea and he played really well in that game. But, you know, I think you lose the shape of it when you've got people there's a lot of them who want to play in that number 10 spot, you know, where you're floating about. I mean, Eric was really good at it because he could play a pass. He had a really soft touch. He had the vision, but then he could also score.
And he was anywhere. Physical as well, because he's an absolute unit.
Yeah, 6'2". Yeah, he's 6'2", but he was a big lad. But he could move. That's the thing. You look at people who are that big. I mean, Ronaldo's a bit like that, 6'2", 6'3", and they're agile. And I mean, that you know, that's a big thing for a defender to look after. Somebody who can jump high. I always remember Pally talking about, what's his name, Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'4", but he says he jumps. I mean, if you ever see Duncan jumping, he jumps about a metre off the ground.
I remember a game at Old Trafford in the early 90s where he absolutely destroyed us, mostly in the air as well. I mean,
when you got that kind of a leap. I mean, I always remember Gary Speed was one of the best I played with for leaping. You know, he was 5'11", but they had centre-arms picking Gazza. The centre-half used to go and pick him up because he had such a good jump and he was so good with his head.
You're talking about Wales there a little bit. You and Mark Hughes used to be allowed to go play friendlies and stuff with Wales, but Fergie used to stop Giggsy going. What was the reason behind that?
Well, obviously, I mean, the friendlies, you've got Ryan, who's at the time he's a young lad growing up, but he was one of the best around. You know, every time he got the ball, he was pretty much setting stuff up. And that's what you want of a striker or a winger. Every time he gets it, you want a bit of end product. And, you know, if he'd have come with Wales, we'd have been giving him the ball all the time and he'd have been carrying the team all the time, you know, making chances, scoring goals. And I think the manager, for me, it was fine. I think he was right. I mean, I even said, I don't know if Mark, I think it was Mark was in charge when Ryan's coming to the end of his career. I says, look, just play him last hour, last 30, 40 minutes. You know, he got him to go down there just to play for 30, 40 minutes. You know, and he ended up retiring just after Mark. I think Toshak was in charge. But for me, Ryan, I was coaching and we were doing playing staff matches. And he was actually better than when I first played with him. I mean, obviously he's got better. He obviously has got better because he's got more experience then. But his finishing, everything had improved. He was like scary. He was like the finished article then when he was like 42. But he was still fitter than anybody around.
Do you think people who watched the game in the last 10 years really understood? Because there's not actually that much video around of 1993, 1994 Ryan Giggs. He was unbelievable, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's just a set of legs running around everywhere. He just could, they were like skinny little legs, and he just could run and change direction. And obviously, when you get older, you get more experience, and he just got better and better and better. I mean, the manager used to take him off 60 minutes into a game, Champions League game. He's won the game for us. He set two goals up, scored one. And I mean, obviously, Ronaldo was doing the same thing when he came. He was more of a more powerful player, bigger physique. But I mean, you know, for me, those two were probably the best. They'd always be on my left and on my right wing.
Oh yeah.
There's nobody can move them out. Even Messi, I wouldn't put Messi out there on the left.
There's a young lad coming through at United that's got some high hopes of him. I know he was involved in the academy as he was coming through. How good can Mason be? Could he eventually force his way into that sort of contention with Giggs and Ronaldo?
That's a big one. You know, for me, you're talking about the best players in the world, the two best. You know, for me, they should have been. I mean, Ronaldo's winning the Ballon d'Or all the time, and he should have won it a lot more for me. I think if he hadn't played for United, I think he'd have won it more. Obviously, there's a lot of people don't like United, and I think down that line, I mean, Kaká won it once instead of him, and I'm like, and then you've got the guy from, I think I can't remember his name, midfielder.
Oh,
wins
Modric.
It last year. Yeah. Yeah, is it Modric? Yeah, I've heard of him. But I mean, how was he winning before him and Messi? You know, I mean, Messi's better than Modric all day long. But so, I mean, it's a bit false that, you know, those two should have won it more for me, Ronaldo. But like I say, Ryan was a bit unlucky because he played for us, played for Wales. He didn't get to the top. For me, I think he'd have been the best player in the world at one stage.
Yeah. They overvalue, don't they, what happens at international level, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I found international football a lot easier than Premier League football.
Even playing for Wales, division. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but even as a Wales international.
We always have a tough group. We had Holland and Germany in one group. Germany were like, had to beat us in the last game to qualify in second place. and they went on to win it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've always had really tough groups, but you're playing against the best players in the world, and I found that easier than playing at Goodison Park, where you got Peter Reid and all them trying to take your legs off.
So go on, and Mason, is he capable of hitting that level?
He's one of the best finishers I've seen growing up. But there's a lot to go with it. I mean, you know, his injuries, and if he can keep away from injuries and gets fitter and stronger, there's no end to what the guy can do. He can finish with both feet. I mean, the only one I've ever seen as close to him was James Wilson. And that shows what can happen to your career. You know, James, I think he's with Salford at the moment.
I think he is.
I mean, I still hope he can get out of there, because that guy's a really good footballer, but he's had a lot of injuries, picks up injuries too quickly. And there's so many things that can be against you as a footballer. But at the moment, he's playing, when he comes on, he's delivering. If you give him a chance in front of goal, I'm shouting goal all the time, because honestly, he's scary.
12 goals in your breakout season's a bit fucking ridiculous, let's be honest, isn't it? Like, if you'd have said at the start of the season...
It is. He hasn't played that many games either.
No, and let's presume the season actually is allowed to be finished. We could have 18 games left in all competitions. You'd back him to get another 3 or 4 goals, wouldn't you? Which is an unbelievable
return. Easily. No, he definitely will do. If you play him, he'll score. You have to... For me, I think you've got to play him. Look, he played centre-forward in a 3 when he was a kid growing up. And what he used to do, he used to drop off the centre-halves, because the centre-halves were always big units and they wouldn't give him a chance. And he'd get on the ball and just run at people. He needs to be playing in that number 10 spot. Give him the ball, let him run at people, and let him, you know, get his shots off. And, you know, he's up there with the Rooneys and all that. We were finishing both feet. One of his feet will be definitely better than one of Wayne's, because they're both as good as each other. I've never seen. I mean, I took free kicks, penalties, and I've never seen somebody take a free kick with one foot 1 week and then take it with another foot, or even in the same game. He's took a penalty with his left foot and a free kick with his right foot.
Yeah,
nobody does that. Yeah, he's the only person I've seen do that.
Yeah, and I think he takes his penalty. I think he's left-footed, but he takes...
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I've had 4 or 5 years with him. But, I had the same problem with James Wilson, but I mean, he's more so, because James used to do, you know, if it was a free kick or penalty, he would take it with one foot. I think it was his right foot. But with Mason, he always changed. So you never knew if he's left or right footed.
I think
he's left footed.
I think it was the AC Milan game, it might have been. We had some penalties in pre-season. And I get the impression, just from watching him as he came back, I think someone must have said to him, "Don't you dare take this with your wrong foot." Yeah, I think they must have said to him, "Take it wherever," because he scored it, and as he comes back, he's laughing. And I just get the vibe he was like, "Yeah, whatever."
He should be on the penalties.
He's ridiculous.
That guy should be on the penalties. I think he's the best penalty, one of the best penalty takers I've seen.
Where do you think he finishes as a position? Do you think he stays as a 10, or do you think he is a full number 9?
No, he's not. I don't think he's a target man. Even though he's one of the only kids who's come through the academy as a centre forward. That's because he dropped off, got on the ball. For me, you need a target man that he can play off him. He needs to be dropping off, getting on the ball and running at defenders, and then getting his shots off. That's where he's strongest. And, you know, if you put it... I mean, you've got to think of the goals he scored. He's come from right midfield. He's playing out on the right wing.
Yeah.
He's coming in. And that's what I mean. He's still scoring goals inside the, you know, in field, and he's playing on the right.
Yeah. From what I can see of him, I'm sure he ends up central, but I'm just not sure where, because I think the Robin Van Persie comparisons are probably quite valid. The same level of finishing, the body shape that he takes up, very eerily reminiscent of Van Persie.
They both got bandy legs.
Yeah, don't they have like the same run? Like, it's like a weird sort of languid
running.
I think
it's because he's so bandy, and it's really hard as a defender to work on that. And remember, most of the wingers I played against, anybody had bandy legs. There was a guy called Ted McMinn for the Scotland, and he just didn't know where he was going to go because his legs were all over the gaff. But, I mean, for me, Mason's got to be a number 10.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, well,
he's... I bet if they did a shooting competition, he'd win it from that range. And that's what you're looking at. If he's good at it, why didn't you play him there?
Yeah, well, he had half as many... I mean, he had basically a goal a game, didn't he, coming through the academy? But he also had half as many assists.
Yeah.
Which shows you just the level of...
But he's learning that. That's learning. I mean, when he was younger, obviously, when you're the main man, he was just, it was the Mason Greenwood show all the time when he was a kid growing up. But now, obviously, he's playing with top players as well now, so he's got to bring them into the game as well and find if somebody's in a better position than him. And he has, he's got all that in his locker. He's only going to get better.
Yeah. talk to me about working with Sir Alex Ferguson as a player. And you was on the coaching staff while he was still at the club, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I was in the academy run with him.
How is it?
What do you want to know?
How is he different when you're a member of his staff to when you're a player?
I mean, when you say member of his staff, obviously we're in the academy, we're in the other building. And so what he was good at, he used to come and watch the kids play bloody at 7 o'clock at night. You know, he'd think he'd be finished and gone home. But he would turn up on a Monday or a Tuesday and just come and watch the kids play and see who's good and who, you know, he'd like to watch and see if we've got any good kids coming through. So, I mean, he was very good at that with the academy. I don't see any other managers doing that. You know, they don't stay back and then, and I mean, you're talking 7, 8 o'clock at night. That's when we used to finish. So, I mean, we knew that when I played, he used to turn up at 7 in the morning. I don't think he used to get home till like 11 o'clock at night. Because him and Archie Knox used to go off and watch a game and do a bit of reccing on the team, you know, the next team we're going to play, or even what players they can buy.
Do you ever get the hairdryer?
Yeah, I got it. I remember it once in the change room, but it wasn't there. I mean, it was the worst part where I'm looking around the room and all the lads are trying to make me laugh, aren't they? they're all giggling and they're just trying to make you laugh because and I'm one of them. I could just catch fire and go, just split my sides and then my head will pop up and he'd give me a right digging like a kipper. For laughing at him.
That happened often? Well, did people laugh at him? Obviously not on purpose.
No, they didn't laugh at him. That's what I mean. If I'd have got up and laughed at him, I'd have got a dig. We'd have been fighting there.
No, so, I mean, I can't imagine anyone laughed at him on purpose, but did anyone like...
Oh, no, I never saw anybody laugh. never one. When he was in a mood, nobody... I mean, there's one when I was coaching. You know, we used to go, obviously, we got the same restaurant, so... We go over for lunch and I could see the manager come in the room and I'd be like, I'd be looking at him to see what kind of mood he's in. You just never know. I can always tell, well, like, I won't go over and say hello and all that.
But by the way, he's walking.
There's time to keep out of his way.
Right, Clayton, what are you up to at the moment?
I'm in the house doing nothing. I'm doing a bit of biking to try and keep fit. I've had a bit of a dodgy knee for a year or so, but it's strengthening up a bit now. But just schooling, really. I've started late with the kids, so I've got twins and who are 11 and a 4-year-old, so I'm a teacher.
Oh, nice. You're doing some after-dinner work and that? You got Wes Brown on there?
Yeah, Wes was on the other night. We're just doing a little bit on the podcast and all that. Just to see how it goes. We put a bit of money, obviously a bit of donation into the NHS because they're doing such a great job. What a hard job that is. You're going to work doing that.
Yeah, this is ridiculous at the moment as well with it, isn't it? So, give that a shout out where we can find that and I'll make sure I bang a link in the description as well.
Yeah, how would I bang that in? We're talking to somebody, I'm an old schooler.
Where is it?
How would I bang? I can't remember what it is now, is it? I should have thought of that. I'll text it to you and you can stick it out with someone else.
All right, so I'll stick a link in the description. Clayton, cheers very much, mate. I'll speak to you soon.